All right. Good morning, everyone. We're doing our kids class right now. So if any of you guys want to come to the front, they're welcome to it. We'd like them to be up there. We're going to continue off when we last. Nice. I learned a lot from this too. A lot. But we're going to continue back from last week a little bit. Kind of study what Jacob had with Lee and Rachel. It is a little intimidating. There's no kids. But it's okay. Kids, you got to I can't move. Melanie, you're brave. Thank you. Hey, guys. So, Maddie's up for the kill. I love it. Okay, so last week, how did Laban trick Jacob? For everyone that's listening today, it's here in the front as well. Melanie, do you happen to remember? Not at all. Okay. So Laban, which was the uncle of Jacob, okay, he gave Jacob Leah to marry instead of Rachel, right? Remember, he was supposed to marry Rachel after toiling for 7 years for her. And at the very end of it, Laban tricked him and veiled over Leah instead. So he got tricked. Kind of like what he went through, right? He tricked his family. He got tricked. So kind of an interesting thing. What was God teaching Jacob through this? You remember? Okay. So that tricking others is very wicked. And he wanted Jacob to see his own sin. So right off the bat, he wanted to break down Jacob to see, make him convicted of his own sin to see that. And so now he's kind of seen it. He had to do another 7 years for Rachel, right? 14 years for love. That's good. So real quick, let me read you some questions to everyone listening today. And we'll go into the scripture, okay? So to everyone listening, just listen to this part. To which of Jacob's wives did God give children first? So keep that in your mind. How did Rachel feel towards Leah, right? And who made it possible for Rachel to become pregnant? So to which Jacob's wives did God give children first? How did Rachel feel towards Leah? And who made it possible for Rachel to become pregnant? So as we go, let's start with our reading of the word. So Genesis 29, verses 31, and we're going to go into chapter 30, verse 2. And then we'll go verses 22 through 24 of chapter 30. And Yahweh saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, named him Reuben, for she said, because Yahweh has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore another son, and said, because Yahweh has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. So this is Leah. Okay. So she named him Simon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son. So quite the theme. This time I will praise Yahweh. Remember that. Third son praising Yahweh. Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Then Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. So she became jealous for her sister Leah. And she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Wow. Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. And he said, am I in place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb? Verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named him Joseph, saying, may Yahweh give me another son. So a lot of scripture, a lot of in between. Leah bore a couple children. Rachel was jealous of Leah. We saw in the scripture, hey, guys. And God still kept his promises and helped her and opened her womb as well to have children like Joseph, which you'll learn about Joseph further on. Okay. So as we combine all that, the main idea I want to present to you is God chooses the most unlikely people to carry out his promises for his glory. And that's a big theme in the Bible. People that are unlikely, he still chooses them to use for his glory. Okay? So let's talk a little example today. So if you and I were going to select a family to make into a great nation, okay? Let's say you had a choice to create a civilization and you were going to make it. Who would you pick normally? Who would you be in thought of who to pick of people? Any ideas? Family? Could be family. Maybe strong people, weak people. Who would you choose? Cousins. That's good. That's a cool theme. All right. Cousins, family. Cool. You guys got good hearts. I love that. But they're also wicked. So we would probably pick the one that was strong and fruitful, right? You're creating a family, you're creating a civilization, you need strong people to move stuff, build things, create people, like just that kind of mindset. So our mindsets always want to go for that. But Abraham, Sarah was unable to have children, right? There's a unlikely choice, Genesis 11:30. And then Isaac's Rebecca was unable to have children. And now Jacob's beloved Rachel was unable to have children. Because right back then, it was important because they thought they had to get that lineage. They had to have children, be fruitful, and multiply, to create the promises to the lineage of Christ. So if they didn't have children, that was hard on them. They're like, wow, I need to have children. This is so important to carry on the family. So when they didn't have it, it was doubtful. It was hard on them, right? So have you ever been angry because a friend got the exact same toy you wanted or something you wanted and they got it? You ever been angry at someone like that? Maybe jealous? Come on. Yes, thank you. We've all been there. I get jealous of Brooke when she gets something like food that I can't really eat. And I'm like, man, I really wanted that really delicious enchilada plate, but I couldn't have it. So I've been angry at her, right? Is that good to be angry at Brooke for that? No, it's not. But I did. It's bad. So this is more of a simplistic part, but that's how Rachel felt towards Leah, right? She was jealous of her because here she is. She was considered unloved. Jacob chose her. And Rachel's like, wow, I got Jacob. But Leah's the one having kids. Why can't I have kids? My life's perfect. I should have that. And she's jealous of her. Okay. So that's how Rachel felt towards Leah. So Leah kept getting the sons that Rachel wanted. All right. Leah has several sons while Rachel did not have any. So God was teaching Jacob something. And what he was teaching him was he taught Jacob's father and grandfather that he alone would make Jacob into a great nation. So there it is, back to making them rely on God. It's God alone that does that with the family into making him a great nation. He told Abraham, he told Isaac, and he's telling Jacob too. But Jacob tends to want to think he can do stuff on his own a lot. So God's having to really break him down, really mold that clay and bring him back up. And so, like I said, that he alone would make Jacob into a great nation. In time, God was gracious towards Rachel and gave her a son named Joseph, which you'll learn later on about him, which is really a really interesting story with him. But just as Jacob's father had favored Esau, if you remember that, remember how he favored him as the firstborn, he favored Esau, but it was Jacob to carry that? Jacob favored Joseph, which is a son with Rachel. Not his other sons, but he favored Joseph. So he surely thought that Joseph would be the one from whom the Savior would come. So he's thinking, okay, he's the lineage of the Savior of Christ. He's my favorite. We're going to focus on him. But he was wrong, as usually we all are. So God again worked in a way we would not expect. And it was not from lovely Rachel that the Messiah would be born. Okay. Rather, it was from unlovely Leah. Right? Remember the main point that God chooses the most unlikely people to carry out his promises for his glory? So in this sense, his mind, it was supposed to be Rachel, but it was actually Leah through that family. Kind of like with Isaac. He wanted Esau's, but it was going to come through Jacob. Now, all the priests of Israel, here's a note, would come through Leah's sons, Levi. So here's a couple of information for this part. So Leah's son, Levi, all the priests of Israel would come through him. All the kings of Israel would come through her son, Judah. So look at that. That's kind of cool to know. But most importantly, Leah was the ancestor of who? They are sisters. But sorry, I'm just throwing that curveball at you. It's actually Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. So most poorly, Leah was the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Her blood would flow in the veins of Moses and David and eventually to Christ. So God chose two unlikely women, unfruitful Rachel on one side and unlovely Leah on the other, as the instruments through which the nation of Israel would come. So he chose a broken family full of sin to be the channel through which he would bring salvation to the world. And he did this so that all the glory would go to who? No. Who deserves glory in the Bible? No. Close though. God. That's right. He did this so that all the glory would go to him alone, because he's the one that provided all this. He did all this. Not our own. He did. Now, I'm going to go back and read some questions for you, okay? Just to make sure we're on topic. I got a couple more after that. So, to which of Jacob's wives did God give children first? Yes, Leah, right? It was because God saw that she was hated and unloved, which scripture said, and that he made it possible for her to become pregnant. But Rachel was unable to have children, like we learned in there, right? So how did Rachel feel towards Leah? Yeah, well, you guys got that one. Yes, jealous. She hated Leah. And it was jealous of her because Leah was able to have children, right? Kind of like we talked about. There was competition between the two sisters. And you ever have competition between family members? Yeah, a lot. So Leah wanted to be loved like Rachel, and Rachel wanted to bear children like Leah did. So they both wanted something they couldn't have. But who made it possible for Rachel to become pregnant? God. Thank you. God did. He is the one who gives children, right? God is the one who kept his promise to Abraham. He kept his promise to Isaac and kept his promise to Jacob to make him what? A great nation. Okay? Very good. Proud of y'all. So three more questions. We'll wrap it up here. So why is it surprising that God chose Jacob's family to be a great nation? Because God is your ancestor? No. Why is it surprising that God chose Jacob's family to be a great nation? Because we would probably choose a family that was able to have lots of children, that was powerful, and that walked in righteousness. And Jacob's family was everything but this. Okay? His most loved wife was unable to have children, and he was living as a servant in his uncle's house. And his house was full of sin. So it's like, wow, it's kind of surprising, right? Usually if we were like, remember we talked about how we would choose who we'd want, we'd probably want someone strong and fruitful. But God chose someone unlikely through that to get the lineage of Christ. So now, why would God choose a family with so many problems? Anyone? Well, to maybe work with them, yeah, but what's the other thing? What gives glory to God? Right? Well, basically to give all the glory to him, right? Because God chooses the weak to show his strength. Right? He chooses the poor to show his riches, and he chooses the sinful to show his mercy, as we all have mercy from him. Now, from which son of Leah would Christ come through? Do you remember the three I said? Levi was one, but not through Christ. The good memory. Judah, yes. Judah, whose name means praise. And Leah's response when he was born was to praise God for his grace. And this was fitting since it was from Judah that our Savior would spread God's praise around the globe. So very neat to see that, how that all comes to fruition through God's plan and the redemptive work of Christ. That's what we trust in. They're waiting for the Messiah. And now we have the living word of God and the joys of that. So let's take joy in that, okay? Well, thank you guys for listening today. Let's go ahead and go to prayer and we'll go into worship. Father, we thank you for your provisions, your promises that you never break, and the trust in you and you alone. We thank you that you're allowed to use those who are weak, as we are all weak in sin. And we're grateful that your glory can be shown through that as you use us as your hands and feet to spread the gospel and to train those around us in the word. We glorify you in everything, and it's in your name we pray, amen.